Boys, episode 87 of the Motorsport Republic podcast. Welcome.
We back
in a huge way. What a weekend of sport. It's getting too much. Jim, Daniel, the triple header, triple header. I'm tired. Imagine the teams.
Yeah, it was
imagine
crazy.
The teams.
How'd they get paid for it, but?
Oh, Jesus Christ. And now
That's a good point, Daniel. Yeah, that's a great point.
Can't be
the poor MotoGP boys, we're looking forward to getting back to Valencia. Now all their plans have changed.
Not so. Moto3 mechanics, that's for sure. Economy everywhere, it's a bit rough.
Yeah, hard.
100%. Yeah, bloody hell, it's been a huge week, hasn't it?
Hey, Daniel, nice top, mate.
Yeah, you too, man. That's really nice looking. It's very familiar looking as well.
We're very factory at the moment.
Yeah, I know. This was in no way, shape or form planned by the
absolutely
way.
Absolutely not planned us both wearing Repsol. So
that's good.
We're just trying to carry Honda. We're trying to make Honda great again, obviously. Absolutely. We're repping it, mate. We're repping it.
We are. Jimmy, take it away. Motor Heaven got a special this week.
Shout out to Motor Heaven. 20% off all Cardo units. Anyone listening, head to motorheaven.com.au because the 20% off Cardo units is pretty crazy. No one's doing that. So give them some love and get yourself a new Intercom, Pack Talk or the Edge or the, what is it? The
Freecoms.
Freecoms, yep. Yeah,
just on that, those systems are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, I remember speaking to your old man. He's riding on 100 kilometres down the highway, and it sounds like he's on his lounge chair.
He's got a Pack Talk Edge.
Yeah, and the music's clear, and everything's, it's super,
they
super
are good.
Cool.
I got the 4X, and I'm not a massive, to be fair, Intercom person. I really had to get convinced, but with the JBL speakers in them, they're pretty, they're amazing.
Yeah, that's
they
are lit. Amazing. That's lit.
So, anyway, motorheaven.com.au, 20% off Cardo and everything else you need, all your parts finders, stuff like that. Show them some love.
Yes, and guys, Patreon, please get involved. We have a upcoming app which we haven't planned just yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And also 20% off merch for anyone who is subscribed to our Patreon. We appreciate all the support.
Absolutely. And on the support, obviously, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all the good stuff, guys.
Love it.
All right, let's start with MotoGP.
Oh, no, where do you start? The crazy thing is we haven't spoken about this. Like, normally we have like a little debrief, we talk, but we haven't talked about it at all. So this is all really fresh.
All really fresh. And obviously our thoughts and prayers with the people of Valencia.
The footage, man, is terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. And like terrible. Gets worse and worse by the day, it looks like. So I think MotoGP made the right decision, quick decision. Change it to Barcelona. It was stupid of them to ever think they were going to be able to race in the circuit when there's houses and
people,
villages flooded. So
losing loved ones and stuff. And so
hopefully hopefully all the proceeds from the last race go to that town. So that'll be something that really be super good if they could do that.
I didn't even realize Spain had that type of like floods.
Yeah, neither did I.
You know,
it's
honest.
Incredible. Wild, you think it's just sunshine and
Yeah, I thought it was like always pretty barren.
it's crazy. And just when it rains, it pours, I suppose, in that region. So as gone in 60 seconds, Nicolas Cage says.
Yeah, no, it's sad. So any of our Spanish listeners, a bit heartfelt condolences, I guess, from little old Melbourne, Australia.
That's it. Barcelona in 2 weeks, we'll get onto that shortly, but the race, Daniel, please give us some sprint race and race results.
Yeah, let's get it up, eh? Sprint race, Jorge Martin, Marc Marquez, Enea Bastianini were your top three. Alex Marquez, Fabio Quartararo, Franco Morbidelli, Brad Binder, Jack Miller, Pedro Acosta and Marco Bezzecchi rounding out the top 10 in the sprint.
Yep.
And then main race, we have Pecco Bagnaia, Jorge Martin, Enea Bastianini, top three. Alex Marquez, Pedro Acosta, Fabio Quartararo, Maverick Vinales, Alex Rins, Marco Bezzecchi, and Augusto Fernandez rounding out the top 10.
Good ride, Augusto Fernandez.
Only 15 of them finished though. So
when I did,
not hard.
When I did power rankings, I just automatically leave him in the bottom category, like nowhere to be seen or whatever it is. Yeah. And then I actually looked at the results. I'm like, oh, fuck, he got in the top 10. I got to give him a good ride. I give him a little bit of a shout out. So
yeah, it's just the drama, wasn't it? There's just drama on the Sunday. I mean, you had that race start, everything was tense already, and then
Same with the Saturday.
Massive crash with Miller that was getting scary there for a few moments, but it was so good seeing him walk away because that was a nasty crash. And we saw some photos of it today. I mean, his head was sort of in between, what do they call that rear end of the bike?
Just the rear end.
The tail and the top of the – I mean, that could have been horrendous.
Yeah, it's almost between the swing arm and the tire.
Yeah, and And for him to walk away, I mean, like, people were thinking them worse there for a little bit, but...
Well, I thought when... Because they came out really quickly saying, all riders conscious. Yeah. And I was like, man, that's like a spinal injury. Like,
yeah,
the way you're, yeah. That's what I thought. I didn't want to say. I didn't put it out to the universe. I just, like, thought it.
Yeah.
But I was like, fuck, that's like a spinal injury. Like, that can be really bad.
Oh, but, then you know what? Sorry, I won't cut you off. But I didn't mean to cut you off. But the other thing was, I saw a lot of people online, as soon as Brad Binder pitted, they thought to themselves, oh, fuck, KTM have boxed Binder, like, out of respect. And then there was a lot of that online as well.
Yeah, right. I haven't heard that.
Yeah. So I saw that, and then everyone's like, oh, my God, they're boxing Binder. That's not a good sign. And then, boom, on the screen, you got Miller. So,
yeah, right.
You continue what you're saying. Sorry.
Oh, I can't remember now. It's cut me off.
Standard.
Too slow.
It just speaks volumes, but of the safety equipment.
Alpine Stars?
And Alpine Stars, yeah. What they're doing with all their stuff, so. Very, yeah. Very fortunate for Jack.
That's scary, man. But obviously they took all the precautions.
Too much?
Nah, not motorcycle racing, man. There's no such thing as too much.
Yep.
I think, you know, and it's at Sepang of all places. Speaking to Chris Vermeulen, it's always, you know, the first corner when it's a chicane or, you know, super tight,
always something.
We saw it with basically all the races this weekend as well. So. Nah, there's no such thing as too much. When these guys are realistically putting their lives on the line for us, for entertainment, man, they can have all the time they want.
The interesting, we had a couple of messages come through the saying that the TV coverage should not have shown the incident at the start, which is they're normally pretty good at that. But, we had a bit of a Dick of the Week nomination, early Dick of the Week nomination, saying that, the head honcho of the TV shouldn't have shown those pictures. Awkward incident. Do we know what actually sort of transpired there? Like, did someone come in hot, hit Quartararo?
I don't know. I think either. He might have just come in hot.
He hit Quartararo. Quartararo was sort of avoiding action and then went into Miller. Mm. And then Miller came over and then sort of went through the pack. And then took out
Binder.
But someone must have gone in hot of turn one. But I just didn't get to see the whole incident.
Quartararo took a big shunt. He did. With Binder as well. And then, like, you know, he looked pretty frazzled when they were back in the pits afterwards, after the red flag, and he looked hurt. And then he hobbled back onto the bike, and then I think he pulled it into sixth.
His best position of the year.
He's almost been my standout this last couple of weeks. He's riding the wheels off that Yamaha. I reckon there's improvements in that Yamaha, and I reckon they're coming because Rins had a good weekend. He's actually been up there for a man that can hardly walk.
And then
he's just been riding the wheels off that, and... What I like about Quartararo is he used to be really hot-headed, but he just doesn't complain, doesn't whinge. He knows the bike's bad and he's making improvements now. And now we can see the improvements. Like, and he's riding the fucking wheels off that thing.
Yeah, he's doing well. I think so. Johan Zarco's doing the same for Honda.
He'd
almost be on par with how good Fabio's been in the last few weeks.
He's been doing top tens as well. And like, I think that Honda's a worse bike. I think we can all agree on that.
Mm.
And then what he's doing to that bike. And then, you know, you look at Marini. Like, what's Marini doing? Like, what's Marini doing? What's Mir doing? And they're on the factory. I guess they're all on factory spec bikes, but
they're on a factory team.
They're on a factory team representing Repsol, the greatest sponsor of all time. And Mir just crashes every weekend. Tom says he just folds the front end on purpose.
Well, you ran over Jack's legs as well.
He gives up. He doesn't even put the knee down to save it. He just lets it go. He goes, oh, I've had enough.
But Zarco, normally you wouldn't think he would be that type of person to do that. But after kind of maybe his Primark Ducati stint, he's been in that role of developing bikes now, and he's obviously riding around the issues, and I don't know, there's something there, but
Quartararo finished fifth or sixth, Daniel?
In the main race.
That's the highest a Japanese bike finished all year, they said.
Yeah, so, since Marquez.
So, yeah, it's crazy. So
it's wild, man.
I agree. I think, and then Primark getting Yamaha on board next year as well, that's going to add another dynamic, have a couple extra bikes on the grid. Things are looking better.
Definitely. Oh, no,
yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, for sure. I would have, at the start of this year, I think we spoke about it. I'm like, nah, Honda will get their shit together first. But it doesn't look like it. It looks like Yamaha's leading the way.
A massive step, absolutely. And like you said, with both of the boys being up there, not just one, you know it's the bike that's making those improvements as well.
And, okay, you got Quartararo finishing sixth on Instapang. So there's a heap of data in Sepang because they test there. The weather was good. The bike's supposedly no good. How is Fabio ahead of like Vinales, Aleix Espargaró?
Bezzecchi.
He's
a world ahead.
He's major fraud watch at the moment. Like,
especially when Alex Marquez finishes fourth.
Yeah.
Like, strong track for Alex Marquez.
Yeah,
and
loves the track.
I didn't put him in my top five.
Yeah, true.
You're on the Bastianini bandwagon last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Well, he won there last week.
Last year. And Alex Marquez won the sprint last year. So
yeah.
That's right.
I forgot about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a quick reminder, we are proudly supported by the great team down at Moto Heaven. They are absolutely unbelievable to deal with. And if I were you guys, I'd definitely head over to their website.
Yes, you never pay full recommended retail price at Moto Heaven and free delivery for any order over $100.
100%. And they've got the best, most usable website in the whole motorcycle industry. Dare I say the world. They got parts finders. You can chuck in any bike you want. If it's a gold KX250 or an R1, you can find anything you want. Helmets, they got everything. Head to motoheaven.com.au where you will get everything that you need. That's a guarantee.
Do it.
So, but like going back to it, Cordararo and Yamaha, like they're beating the factory Aprilia boys, Bezzecchi, like they shouldn't be doing that. So I don't know if it means how good Cordararo is going or how bad
Aprilia's going.
Because Aprilia's, people still in our comments, man. I was laughing about it today.
Oh, yeah.
Why is Maverick Vinales getting so much hate? And then someone fired back at him, one of our loyal fans.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we should shout out that. That was really good.
And then he goes back and goes, yeah, I understand he has bad starts and he can't handle the... he's like, he can't harm. He has tire issues. I'm like, well, that's your problem. Fix your starts and fix your tire issues. Like, you just laid it out in line.
Oh, my goodness. It's crazy.
He's paying off someone, I'm telling you. He's paying off someone.
But it was so funny down at Phillip Bowl. Like, people come and say, Fraudy, it's Fraudy over there.
There's people all around the world, literally. I kind of feel sorry for him because I've started this, but he's like, fraud. Like, he's ultimate
and
fraud.
And I was, yeah, anyway, we're not going to talk about Phillip Bowl anymore.
Nah, you can say it.
Back to the race, guys. That first five laps, was that the best five laps of the year? Like, that was unreal.
That's the best few laps, I reckon, in a couple of
years. Did he not need to do that? But
no.
But all I can think to myself, and I think I said this to you, is like, imagine if there was no aero tire pressure, how amazing that fucking race would have been.
Day. Yeah.
Like, that would have been a race of the ages.
Someone would have crashed, I reckon, or they would have both crashed.
Yeah. I think it would have been that way.
Yeah.
They both would have gone out.
It was a fight for the fresh air at the start, as they said on commentary, and God, it was just... I haven't felt that in years, that battle.
Bagnaia just had to obviously throw the kitchen sink at it, and like they were taking each other's legs out. Didn't do a chantra, but but they were taking each other's legs out, and then Bagnaia, like, to his credit, he just couldn't give up. Like, he had to be
he
in
had
front.
To do it
he
but
had a bar it. As well on the main straight.
Crazy.
But you know what, 24 points, just MotoGP can happen. It just flips in an instant. You win, he crashes, 25 points, it's back.
Yeah,
it's,
well, look, 2006 Valencia, I think Rossi had a 17-point lead or something going into that.
And the other thing with, like, I compare this to Formula 1. Formula 1, you can stay mid-pack. You can just cruise to eighth place. MotoGP, you have to stay on the bike. Yep. It's a massive thing. Like, if you lose concentration for 1 second, you're done.
Mm.
That's the biggest difference between those two sports.
And it's the threatening of rain all weekend as well.
Someone chucking it up the inside, taking you out. Someone like losing the front and taking you out. There's just so many variables in this sport. Like, that's why we love it.
And Martin, to his credit, he held back then, just took the seconds. Marquez crashed behind him, standard, but then it gave him, you know, all the time in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Bastianini wasn't making any inroads at all. But yeah, that battle was something else. 11 passes in three laps.
Crazy.
And passing in places, like, it reminded me back in the old days where they could pass at any corner.
That's
surprise,
right.
Like a surprise attack.
Because you don't see that now. Like, it's always like after a long straight or that sort of thing.
Martin's got his starts dialed though.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Normally that's Pecco, but fucking hell, Martin was just honest.
I noticed he's got a bit of a different technique. He really stays low on the bike for the whole time. Where they sort of come up and then they set and then they go. So I found that he's changed that in the second half of the year. I don't know if that's obviously helping, but
absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good observation.
Oh, just such a good battle. Like, how good's Barcelona? Who does it favor?
I was thinking that. I actually don't know. I don't know who
high
won.
Grip, high grip track, very high grip track. Both like would have done a lot of laps around the track as well. I reckon if they went to Qatar, I reckon they would have favoured Bagnaia a lot more. Because he would have
I don't know about that. He's had a few blunders there too. It's an interesting one.
I don't know who it's going to favour.
11 wins for Bagnaia on a Sunday this year. It's pretty incredible. 10.
It's amazing.
Pretty incredible. Like, and they're not going to, they're going to talk about Martin winning this championship, but he's really won the championship from sprint races, honestly.
Well, eight DNFs for Bagnaia.
Yeah. And you got to remember, Martin's got seconds, like.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Think go back to Barcelona sprint.
Yep.
Paco put it down on the last lap. Remember that?
What I mean?
Like, that's crazy. He's crashed on the last lap. Like, that never happens. So,
and Martin's got in his favour that no one chasing's ever won going into the last round.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Except for Hayden.
No, wasn't Hayden leading?
No,
or was Rossi he the first one?
Yeah, he was the only one.
There you go.
He was the only one.
Yeah.
A lot of points on offer still. I mean, it's still 37 points on offer for the weekend, and there's 24 points. So
it just feels like something's going to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Like, yeah.
Something's going to go down, and
it's
not going to be as simple as finishing first and Pecco finishing third.
Imagine if there was no sprint race. I know, hypothetical, obviously. I'm paraphrasing here, as James would say.
It's not a paraphrase at all. It's not a paraphrase.
Where's this thing from?
That's the best you ever said. 24 points is the margin, 25 for a win. Like, how cool that had been going through to the last round, but that sprint race adds that extra dynamic. So
you're right, though. It has been since Thailand. You can just the tension. Like, I'm watching it, my heart beats. I'm sweating
like Tom arms now. Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Like, you just everything's so tense, and the concentration these guys have. I don't know. That's why they're the best in the world, though, because they don't crumble.
That's right. I know. And you look at their teams and their girlfriends and their wives and the sisters.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, like they're on
freaking
edge.
Freaking out, yeah.
Like Marty's brother's like got his head in his hands. Like
Cheeseburger Javier.
He's had a few.
Yeah, he's ate one, yeah, buddy.
Reason why he's not in jail.
Yeah, they got the first one right, the second one not a bit wrong, but that's all right. Got one out of two. Right you are.
Can we talk about Bagnaia's mistake? Sprint race.
Yeah, I know, wow. Wow.
Well, who would have saw that? I didn't see that coming, though. And it was a perfect timing on board of Marquez.
Know,
and then
you
see the front go. Fuck.
Yep. Yeah. But he's done that before. He did that in Mugello leading the race, clipped the curb through the Arrabbiata section.
He just never looks like he's going to make a mistake.
I know. He doesn't.
Like, he looks like he's going to run wide. The bike's twisting under him and then just makes the corner. He never runs wide. Where Martin's always off, like
so
when they're chasing.
He clipped the curb. Is that what it was?
Oh, that's what they're saying.
That's what they said. Yeah, he had to really slow.
He ran over the curb.
Fuck, it must have been millimetres.
That's all it takes, I suppose, isn't
it? You got to remember the contact patch on a tyre when you're at
that's true.
56 it's degree lean or whatever it is, 55 degree lean.
It's nothing.
Tiny.
It's like a 10-cent piece or something.
So you run over a ripple strip.
Yeah. God, I couldn't believe it when he lost that.
It didn't look like happening at all, especially the build-up to the weekend, the qualifying session.
He led every session.
As soon as I seen that, I thought, all right, this is a Bagnaia masterclass. Yeah. This weekend's going to be... Like, well, you know,
almost
everything to him.
Yeah, that qualifying, I put it up in our story, is the best qualifying I've ever seen.
Mm.
Those two laps.
My God.
Jesus.
I know.
If you want to just watch how talented two people are, using the most out of the machinery that they can possibly do.
Squeeze every millisecond out of it.
Watch that.
Tardozzi was like this whole time. He was like, fuck. Yeah. That's insane.
That's exactly what he said. Fuck.
Pretty much it would have been like that, you know?
Fuck.
It was, and then when he crashed, he just looked up into the sky and
he's thinking,
he's like this. Fuck, I've just thrown away the championship, the slim hopes.
Yeah, 100%.
Because now Martin, he's just got to nurse it home.
He's just got to finish.
Yeah.
You know, but who knows? Can he make a mistake?
But I don't think it's in his nature. Like, he should have just stayed second the whole race and he tried to for the win.
He
like,
did say he's most comfortable when he's his full attack.
Yeah. And he was closing that gap as well during the race. And then he had that little moment there that he's just like, yeah, probably back off and take seconds.
Did Beggs win Sunday race at Barcelona?
I don't know. Curdy, do you want to look it up?
Because, like, he should have won the sprint. He should have won I think he did win Sunday. I'm not 100% sure. Or did he fade? Did he fade in the end or something?
Aprilia's, I'm going to hate saying this, but Aprilia's normally do well there.
They do.
Yeah, if he goes an extra lap, we'll touch on Jake Dixon shortly. How that happened, far out. You can see a checkered flag, Jakey Dub. Fucking won't say it because Curdy will get angry at me.
That's his cousin. Nah, Barcelona.
0-4.
Peko won.
Yeah, he did.
That's all right, we got it.
By 1.7 seconds.
Again, who was second?
Martin.
Yeah, okay. That's the thing as well.
That's just an aero
moment,
race.
You've got the two boys, you got the Bags and you got the Martin. Marquez is hanging on by a thread and then no one else. No one else is competing. So Martin can get to the front, let Bags go, and then just nurse at home. But anything can happen. Like anything, you can touch a curb, you can fucking get a dud tire from Tadozzi. You don't know.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you said earlier, someone can take him out. If he doesn't qualify well.
Especially the first chicane. What did Chris say? Yeah. Always dangerous.
Yeah, and that's always a big one in Barcelona.
It's going to be so crazy. I'm
freaking out just thinking about it.
It's going to be your birthday weekend that weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. So when everyone's over. It should come to mine for the sprint race.
We'll come to yours anyway, bro.
Oh, yeah, true.
And it should be on at like 10 o'clock, not 1 a.m. if it's in Barcelona, you'd think.
Yeah, normally.
Yeah. Is it going to be cold? Like,
it would be. But why
start
is it
to cool down?
Why is Valencia later? Like, it's in the same country.
I don't know.
It's like the time zone's different.
Well, it's like, well, is it? It might be different. Who knows?
I don't think it is.
WA and...
Yeah,
and,
but we're not in Spain.
Or maybe because of our time difference now. We get that extra hour.
Maybe. Yeah,
no, because it's been like all the races have been at 10 o'clock. Oh, yeah.
This is such an Australian problem.
Yeah.
Either way, we'll work it out. We'll be watching it.
Yeah. We will, definitely. Well, yeah, it doesn't really matter, does it? It's going to be, if it's at 3 a.m. in the morning, we'll be watching it live.
Is it a double header as well that weekend with F1? Do you know?
I don't know, no.
That's all right. It's all good.
Hopefully it's not, because too much double headers. As a kid, I used to love watching both, and then it's just... So Vegas is on the 24th of November.
That's a week after.
Yep.
Oh, that works.
So he has no F1 for 3 weeks.
Well, last year was a double header in the finales for F1 and Valencia. Yes. Remember we had to stay up and watch that till like 3 a.m?
You're right.
When we did the Vermeulen episode. Vermeulen,
yeah. How did you boys think Ianone went?
I think he did what he had
to do, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. He said he came out after the race and he was like, the only limitation of that was me. Like, the harder you push the bike, the better everything is, the better the tire feels. You just got to push it hard and hard and hard. And they say that with those these new MotoGP bikes. But he couldn't believe how the difference was between 2019 and 2023.
A lot of development, especially when you're going from an Aprilia to the Ducati.
Yeah.
He actually admitted he's not ready for this bike.
Well, I guess he wouldn't know as well.
No, that's right. Well, I mean, look, when he pulled up to the line, trying to look over at Bezzecchi to see what he's doing for a start procedure.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. You know what's crazy for MotoGP? There's no, like, you can't practice. No. Yes, you can go on and...
There's no simulators.
Yeah. There's nothing that's exactly like what you're going to ride. Like, that's what's the incredible thing about people jumping on these machines. Like, there's no bike that compares to a MotoGP bike.
No, not at all.
You can be as close as possible with these road bikes, but there's going to be major differences
still.
And he rides a superbike and he goes, it is like 100 times better, you know? Like, it's insane. It's insane. So, yeah, kudos to him. I think he did really well. He's there with Sava. At the end, they were sort of competing for that final spot. But he stayed on the bike. That's the main thing, huh?
Well, and even to beat Sava, who's been on the bike testing first and foremost in the last two or three rounds, like, that's a fair crack.
Mm.
And I think he came out and said, at least I did better than Bautista last year.
Is that what he said?
Time-wise or something.
He's so good.
But it was awesome to see him back there, man. He fit in. Yeah. It's where he belongs. I believe it's where he belongs.
Yeah, same. Know? He's got so much talent. I remember Marquez came out a year or two ago and said that one person I feared, I think in the intermediate class or even just in general, was Andrea Iannone.
I mean, they had some epic battles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through Moto 2.
Exactly. So that's a pretty big compliment if Mark Marquez is saying that about you.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
Well, hopefully he can squeeze back in the paddock over the next couple of years.
Well, he's, it's all just down to sponsorships. He deserves to be on that bike more than Chandra or Fernandez.
Well, what will probably happen is they will finally realize that Morbidelli is no good and they might get that seat. Who knows?
He's fraud watch as well. Put him on. He's no good. No, not enough. He's had enough. We'll put the curse on him. The Republic curse.
He's got the new bike. He's done. He's done nothing.
He's had his chance. He's got his.
There's no excuse. There's no injury. There's no excuse.
He's got his VR46 friend ride next year, and that will be it. We'll go off into the sunset. Then he'll go to World Superbikes.
Yeah.
And then you'll get like six. Consistent six.
Mr. Consistency. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he goes across, but I think, yeah, most definitely next year will be his last.
Mm.
I can't see him pulling something out of the bag.
Everyone loves him, they say, in the paddock, but he just has a lot of brain fades, doesn't he? He does take people out.
Yeah, it's real strange. But he was never like that when he first came through.
So I don't know what the goal is. And, you know, like, I was thinking about this the other day. This is how hard it is. You know, you're a Morbidelli, Alex Marquez, Augusto Fernandez, Remy Gardner, all Moto2 world champions, and, like, they just can't do it. You know, for whatever reason, you know, Alex Marquez went to that Honda, just it was obviously a bucket of bolts, you know, but then, like, the level is just further above again. You know, Morbidelli, so good in Moto2, and then got second in the world title, but...
Probably should have won it.
But, you know... Can't do anything with it now, and it looks like his career is fading out. Mm. And Augusto Fernandez has been nowhere this whole time, and he won the world title, and no one's going to remember him winning the Moto2 title.
No, and that was probably because Acosta was injured anyway.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, true. The only person who's new to the sport in the last few years who's adapted to the bike is Ben Acosta. Realistically, there's not a rookie that's come in who's been outstanding, I would say.
That's a good point.
Bastianini had some good rides on his first year. He had some very good. He had a couple podiums.
Mm.
If I'm not
100%.
In Italy, think.
Yeah, San Marino, I think he came back from the clouds.
Yeah. When Quartararo won the championship.
Was he on the Aventia or the Gresini, or did he go to Gresini after?
Nah, it was half Aventia, half VR46 when they first came. It was a Sky VR46.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So
then to Gresini the next year.
Yeah, and then he won Qatar, didn't he, first race? I think.
Yes, pipped a Paul Espargaro.
Yeah.
On a Repsol Honda. That was a false sense of security for Honda.
What a Quinella that is.
Yeah, Christ. Absolutely. Yeah. That first few races for them, they're like, oh, we might be on. Absolutely.
I thought that as well. They fucking Maverick Vinales cock-teased me. Frauds.
No, don't say it. He's so good, Vinales. Fucking nowhere.
Man, seventh. That's respectable.
Not good enough.
Bezzecchi's starting Fraud Watch next year. I've already made my mind.
Dude, he's on Fraud Watch for the last race, definitely.
Yeah.
He was what, 11th, 10th?
No, 9th and 10th.
Talk about the riders who are in front of him as well on the main race. Vinales, Quartararo. Did Zarco finish in front of him?
No.
Nah, two behind.
Okay. Who was 9th?
How many seconds behind Zarco was he, though?
Zarco was 4 seconds.
That's nothing, but...
4 seconds behind.
He was stuck behind Zarco for a long time as well.
I don't know what's going on with Bez. He
really can't get that 23 to work at all.
You got to adapt.
That's right. That's 100%.
It's crazy. And he had the choice. He could have been on Morbidelli's bike.
Kicking himself.
That's going to win the world title.
Yeah.
He'd be absolutely kicking himself.
La Familia, but you know what I'm saying? You got to stay with the fans.
It doesn't work, but.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Doesn't work, you know. I think Rossi should come out and publicly apologise to him for convincing him.
He's his own man. He can make his own choices. But, yeah, just a silly move, man, to stay. Morbidelli would have been better off on that bike in the sense of anything anyway. So,
You know, controversially, it's still a smarter move. I don't know if this is a crazy thing to say, but at least Marini went to a factory bike on factory money.
100%.
And he knew he was in the doghouse. Mm. But for Bez, he had the best bike on the grid. That's going to, now with Jorge Martin, it's probably going to win the world title. Like, it was a crazy thing to do when I heard, and it's still, and then, you know, when this, well, MotoGP, I am. MotoGP, like, you can't make up that ground on an inferior machine anymore.
No, you can't.
I know.
That's the difference.
But it's always been like that.
Yeah.
And once you have one rubbish year, it's just hard to get back into that top team as well. Like,
true. Or he landed in Aprilia, which realistically probably should be Bastianini's.
Morbidelli just fucking keeps getting the ride, I suppose.
He's on an old bike at least.
Yeah.
But where Bezzecchi is on a factory Aprilia of Martin.
But I reckon he fell up into that bike.
Who? Bez?
Because... Bastianini jumped the gun.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
On the move.
That should be the switch.
It should be.
It makes more sense, doesn't it, I reckon?
Well, imagine factory Ducati losing both their factory riders or factory guys on a factory bike. to factory Aprilia. Mm. Imagine that.
Yeah,
that would have been insane. In the same breath, though, maybe jumping the gun wasn't such a bad thing for Bastianini.
We'll wait and see, I
suppose.
Because
that KDM...
It's a factory KDM as well.
It's a factory KDM anyway, and it should be better than the Aprilia.
Mm. If KDM it's have any money left.
What?
Yeah.
if they're allowed in the paddock next year.
Yeah. They might... Who's that team that got kicked out for track house?
Raslan Razzly's crypto data RNF. He came up on my Facebook the other day, Raslan Razzly.
What? People you may know.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I just add them all. I add them all. See what happens.
Yeah, absolutely wild, man. But maybe that was the right choice. Maybe jumping the gun wasn't a bad idea at all.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I hope it works out for Bastianini, for sure.
It's going to be interesting. Absolutely interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's it for MotoGP for me, boys.
Off to Valencia. Yeah. Not Valencia. Off to, you know what's crazy? We've been speaking about how Valencia
shouldn't be the last race.
Crazy.
It's
It's not our fault.
No fault. Touch wood.
I did the witch fucking...
Did you do the
rain dance?
Yeah, I did the rain dance. Just danced too much, unfortunately.
But it's just incredible how things just follow us with that these sort of things. It's happened that countless times.
It has.
Like Honda signing the bloody Italian guy or the Spanish guy. Like, it's unbelievable. We talk about it. It happens. We talk about Valencia not being last race. Boom. A tragedy happens. And it goes to Barcelona.
Not to pump your tires, but it started with your Marquez call.
Yeah, true.
True. Yeah, that was an unbelievable call. But you know what? Barcelona, like, it's a shit track.
It wasn't
one of our picks.
Better than Valencia, but Valencia's
I don't know. It is better than Valencia.
I actually wanted Qatar. I wanted Qatar.
More passing opportunities. There's much of a muchness, really. Yeah.
Barcelona is overrated. It is overrated, but Barcelona.
They should have just flown back here.
That would have been fucking sick.
Was that
sick.
Too selfish?
Nah.
We'll look after them.
One last thing, though. I don't know why I wrote this down, but the minute silence for Valencia was the loudest minute silence I've ever heard. Like, the whole grid was so quiet, and then the whole grandstand was like yelling out and singing. I was like, fuck, this is so disrespectful.
Bro, did you see when Miller was down and like they didn't know what was going on? All the crowds like laughing and cheering.
They
clapping.
Did that with Simoncelli.
I know.
They were booing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
English second language, but you know, it's
a bit of a lack of schools and shit.
A bit of a barrier there.
Uneducated.
Yeah. Our friend of the pod, Mark Danby, was there, but he was the hottest Grand Prix he's ever been to in his life.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was like stiflingly hot. Like, he
sweating bullets.
Yeah, 35 degrees.
Or like when you pop pills
sweating from the pills.
You're sweating when it's, you know, 1 degree. Imagine when it's 40.
No comment.
I don't do it, mate. I don't do it. I told you so many times, don't do it.
Moto2 results, Daniele Briscali Jr.
Excuse me. Moto2, Celestino Vietti, Jorge Navarro, Ethan Quivera. Top three, Jake Dixon, Tony Arbolino, Marcos Ramirez, Dennis Onchu, Aaron Canet, Somkat Chantra, and Diego Moreira.
Daniel, us our sexyheaven.com.au dick of the week.
It's got to be Jake Dixon.
It has to be. That is the ultimate dick move from a very loud-spoken person.
Couldn't have happened to a better bloke. Seriously.
I really don't know how that happens, really. I do not know how this happens. He's not coming first. He sees the riders in front of him that's still going.
Still
true.
It,
like, yeah. That's a good point.
He's a checkered flag that waves. Just see that there's no checkered flag.
Plus, he's got a pit board.
I know.
He was third at the time. You see the other pit boards as well. One to go. However they display it.
Yeah.
Fuck. You know, I feel for Jake.
The only good thing for CF Moto is his teammate passing. Because fucking angry would you be as a team owner? You got a podium and then he gives it up in the last.
True.
You know, that's your only saving grace. You see, the owner would have been like, whatever, who cares? But it could have been a disaster.
They still had a 3-4. But
it was dumb.
What a strange podium as well.
Yeah, real
three
strange.
Three riders. I mean, Vietti just has these weekends where he just absolutely dominates.
Yo-yo.
He is, isn't he? Like, it just depends on what the track is. He's really track dependent.
Yeah, it's a strange one, you know. Like, if he comes out and does that most weeks, it's a different story with him, but he is way too hit and miss.
But fresh air, Daniel, isn't it a big thing? Like, anywhere in motorsport, he gets that fresh air at the start, he guns it, first three laps, he's out, and then he wins. I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, but again, I've seen him bottle it like that too.
True. What about Navarro? Is he his first podium as well? And he's filling in for
Joe Roberts.
Jesus,
and coming across from World Supersport, so
that's talent right there.
I was just about to say, shows the talent that's in that class.
Yeah. Well, we've got our boy coming over next year. We'll be excited about
the skipper.
what's his name?
Huertas.
No, Huertas. I'll remember his name one of these days.
But yeah, for Navarro to put it on pole, I think it was his first pole since 2019 or something like that when he was with.
How does that happen? Seriously,
speed up.
So he races for a super sport team. He used to race in Moto2. Then he went over.
He broke his leg in front of us.
Oh, yes, turn one. Yes,
was I remember watching that. Yeah.
Is that when he got
ran over or something?
Airlifted to hospital?
I think so.
2019?
It was like 29. I'm pretty sure it was 2019.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was wild.
Mm.
So he's in Supersport, and there was a big mix-up. He was racing for someone in Supersport, and he went to a better team because their rider was doing shit. And I think it was a swap with Baldessari somewhere as well.
Yeah, right.
Just a bit
of a free-for-all sort of thing.
But I think he was filling in for someone else not long ago. Now.
But good on him. Like, that's incredible. Yeah.
And it's good for them too. Like, they've been a turmoil there as well, their team. So
So Roberts is obviously injured. What's wrong with him?
Oh, no. Did he get injured in Australia?
No, he broke his shoulder on Friday in Australia.
Oh, is that what happened?
I remember seeing him, yeah. He was out for the weekend.
No, that was Vietti. That broke his shoulder.
Oh, that was Vietti, sorry. Yeah, yeah. It was Philip Bolan though, Roberts.
I think
wasn't
Roberts
it?
Hurt himself in PI.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember Vietti breaking his shoulder on Friday either, because there wasn't much running on Friday, was there?
No. So, but this is his first weekend back on the bike.
And wins.
Like, so for him to come back on.
Doesn't make sense.
Get through that sense.
I know.
And the pain. And to win.
He's got bolts in his shoulder and shit. Like, I just don't get it. Like, he couldn't even sell. He had his arm down like this, celebrating with his left. Like, and he wins by like what?
1.4.
And then Navarro like comes out of nowhere. Like, it's, I don't get Moto2 sometimes.
And Guevara hasn't had that good of a year either, has he?
No, that's his best result.
Podium ever in Moto2. And he's a Moto3 world champion a couple of years ago.
Dominated.
Yeah.
That season. So it's really good to see.
So maybe
him
a bit
there.
Of a breakout ride thanks to Jake Dixon for Guevara, hopefully. I think he broke his leg or something as well, didn't he? I think he was injured for a bit.
Yeah, he was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had exactly broke his leg.
Yeah.
So Aldeguer wasn't racing. He's injured as well by the looks of things.
Yeah, he must have got injured when he barrel rolled Tony.
He's broken his wrist, I know his wrist is in like a brace or something.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just a strange weekend for Moto2. All the stars weren't really there.
Yeah, Canet wasn't there.
I mean, credit to Canet to come back up into eighth.
Yeah.
That was a decent ride
Lopez?
Aldeguer, mechanical.
Mechanical. But that was actually scary.
Yeah.
Did you see how close him and Dixon got?
Yeah.
They almost freaking headbutted just about.
Yeah, 100%. Sepang doesn't like Aigura. You know, he obviously threw it down the road. Imagine if this was when he didn't win the title, when he was the Japanese thing ever.
I know. Imagine that.
Tommy's salivating about it.
Imagine if he didn't steal the championship last round. Oh.
That'd have loved it.
But 2022 all over again.
Lopez 13th. Sergio Garcia 14th.
Yeah, it was just
he's just nowhere, man. He's really struggling. I don't know what's going on.
Shoulders. There's a few mechanicals around. I mean, we'll touch on Moto3 shortly, but like they had a new Honda engine and they were blowing up.
Honda great again. Jeez.
They bring an engine for next year early and put in the bikes and they three of them blow up. Poor Scott Ogden as well.
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Yes.
It was all happening there, but I thought the Moto2 race wasn't too bad, especially when Vietti made that mistake. And
Ramirez it was came okay. back through. It was all right.
It wasn't too bad. There's been better ones.
But as we always see with Sepang, those hot races, they never can really fight all race because just everything overheats, tyres, engine, everything. They have to have gaps. And we saw that last year with the MotoGP race as well.
It was like the most boring race ever of the season.
So, yeah.
But when it gets too hot, it's the same as Formula One. It's just everything overheats now. So
engines don't want to be run in the hot conditions.
No,
they don't like it at all. And going back to our dig of the week, I did read somewhere they're like, oh, you know, it does get hot in those conditions and you can lose laps of concentration. I'm like, fuck, come on. Surely not. Like,
well, no one else did it.
Exactly.
It was like 90 riders through the whole Grand Prix weekend. What do you mean?
He must have rewatched Espargaro in Barcelona.
The motorsport community, I think, is just sick of whinging poms. I think this weekend, the tide has turned.
Oh, yeah.
We're just getting sick of the English and they're complaining.
We like Scott Ogden and Eddie O'Shea. They're our two. Our two boys.
That's it.
Lando Norris can go fuck himself. Anyway, we'll get into that later.
We will.
But yeah, Onchu, man, he's an animal too.
Next year, man.
I'll go like this.
They do that on the camera. Yeah. Next year, right?
I was actually thinking of you.
Yeah, well, he had some good moves and
that save.
Yeah.
That's when I thought of you. He made that save and he came back through to like 6-7, and I was like, yeah, Tommy's on. Like, that's
future world champ.
He's the man. He's gonna be so much fun to watch next year.
And he throws it up the inside. He ruffles a few feathers. We like that. Yeah, we love that.
Something that someone's not Spanish as well.
All right, Moto 3, Daniele Briscale.
Moto 3, no surprise. David Alonso, Tayo Furuasado, and Jose Antonio Rueda, top three. Ivan Ortola, Colin Vaier, Joel Kelso, Ruse Yamanaka, Stefano Nepa, Matteo Bertelle, and Luca Lunetta.
Talk about...
Cocktease, Kelso.
No.
Steve. Not Joel.
We love Not Joel. Joey. We love Joel.
Talk about Republica influencing the world. Again. Snipers.
I know.
He puts it on like second and then it was leading the race. I'm like, Jesus. Like, we actually control the universe right now.
Boys, I'm going to be honest. I've never seen that team ever. Like, before.
Well, that's why me and Daniel were dealing with it.
And I'm like, what the fuck? They're up. He's leading the race, looking great. He put the soft front on, so I was obviously going to fade. But then they finished, what, 11th and 12th in the end? Or 9th and 11th?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was great. What good colours, but the bike does look insane.
Yeah, well, it's a homage.
That was the biggest hype about him at the start of the year. Like, oh, it's like the Scott bike. Because that was Scott as well, wasn't it? That black and yellow thing.
Yeah, with Dovi, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's but yeah, that was it was really enjoyable watching that.
It was so funny. I was watching it going, what is going on?
He put out a lead, like lead, and I was like, what is going on here? Like, their best result all year was 11th.
Well, his best role was 11th.
And
Daniel and I were egging him on. You know, fans from Australia had to push him over the line.
It's amazing. Amazing. I reckon they saw the post, boys. I think that like just motivated everyone.
Well,
we walked into the most hostile box ever when we were down at Philomar.
Two big crashes.
Two big crashes. They walk in. James is speaking English. They don't know what he's talking about.
Nah. I had to talk with my hands. Bubbity, they finally boobity, understood. Bubbity. I walked in and like, yeah, they both crashed. The box was fucking in shambles. I was speaking to the old manager who was like 80 years old. Didn't want to bar me. I was so intimidated. They were just looking at me like, fuck is this guy? But you know what? Once we said we were podcasting, we're big fans, all the mechanics dropped their tools and all like loving it for a bit.
Yeah, nice.
So it was a cool experience.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of cool to see the other side of it when shit goes south.
What was the really big thing with that is the curtain was down. So you walk through the curtain.
I had to open the curtain up. It was fucked.
You walk in and you're locked in. There's no other sound. Like, you're just in there.
And no hiding.
Two bikes are just in pieces and... God, I'm going to get me jackets. Where's your jackets?
Where's podcast from Australia, big fans?
You got some jackets for us? The guy's like,
He's like, oh, my fun good.
Well, fuck, that was
funny.
Could have
bought him a coffee or something, you know?
They get free coffees, bro. Don't worry about it.
Back to Kelso. He's just always there or thereabouts, isn't he? And he's having a great season. He really is.
He's consistent, man.
It was his closest, I think, this round.
Yeah, I think he's going to finish 7th or 8th in the championship, which is really, really impressive. Obviously, he went to that team very late last year on a paid ride, and we'll see what he can do next year with a team that has, like, you know, full backing behind him, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people that he's more familiar with as well.
Exactly right. Yeah.
You know, but... Alonso, man.
I know, like, it was never in doubt, man. Never in doubt.
Furuasado didn't even try in the last lap. He goes, you just can't do it. You just couldn't get past it.
What can you do,
man? What can you do, seriously?
How good was Furuasado when they were in the afterwards celebrating? He just grabs Alonso by the back of the neck and he just goes, you're... He goes like this. Like, he's angry.
I think he's done it to him before.
That's the angriest I've ever seen a Japanese person since World War II. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, James.
Yeah, they're pretty forgiving, right?
Yeah, they are.
You can nuke them and they still let you in.
Thank you for passing me.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. But good, yeah, it was a good race. It always is with them.
Just David Alonso, like, just masterclass, man.
Yeah.
13 races.
13 wins.
Six on the trot. Is it now?
Yep, six on the trot.
That's so humble.
So humble, so young, so talented, and just you just know he's going to win.
Is he going to win the championship at Moto2? Is there a chance he can win the championship?
There's a chance, but it's not going to happen. But what I'm going to say is, shut down.
Yeah, well, there you go.
People
put that on record.
Every other rider in Moto3, a group will just dive bomb him. But for some reason, they just can't get close enough to him.
Late braking. Has to be. Just the latest on the brakes. We saw that with Mir. We saw that with all the champions.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Has to be something to do with that. It's just incredible. That bike control.
Anyway, I don't know. Moto2.
We've run out of words to describe this kid. We've run out of words. We can't say anything better about him. Can he handle the bigger bike? That's the big thing. We talk about these Moto2 champions.
Well, okay.
He's a tiny kid, but
he's tiny.
He's very small.
Yeah.
Moto2, there's a common theme with that. If Acosta didn't break his leg, arguably he could have won that title.
Easy.
And Marquez had the same issue.
Correct.
Both had two injuries, and that's obviously a big thing going up to a bigger bike as well, so young.
Yeah.
Guevara broke his leg.
True.
So who
doesn't knows? Crash. He doesn't crash. He doesn't make mistakes.
But a 765 bike, full size bike as well. It's a different kettle of fish. You
365.
They're all Dempsey fine.
Gab. Anyway.
Cap. No cap skibbity. That's all I got.
Any more for two wheels?
I was just going to say, Jacob did well to pop it in 12th as well.
Yeah, he did. From like 20th.
The boys are solid. Mm. It was a rough round for the Aussie boys. A couple of DNFs, Moto2, MotoGP, obviously. But both the Moto2 boys crashed out, Senna and Voigt. So, but there or thereabouts, and move on to the last round, and that's big next year. So
that's it, man. Unlucky for Senna too, because he got caught up in all that other crap.
Yeah, I couldn't. Again, the incident was hard to tell.
They don't replay
it. No, it was sort of like Superbikes, Philip Island all over again. But
yeah, Johnny Ray.
What are you doing?
Still flying through the air.
Yeah.
Where's his brother?
Conspiracy. Yeah, that's a conspiracy that crashed, and it never actually happened.
Yeah. Bit like 9/11.
Aliens.
All right, let's move on to F1, boys, because we're back. We are back. Max Verstappen masterclass.
Is that our performance of the week?
Our performance of the week. And we're still looking for the sponsor. Our performance of the week.
Nice.
He won by fucking 20 seconds, James.
Yeah.
He started 17th on the grid.
Yeah.
And the third best car.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen a performance like this before?
Would you call this the race of like the great equalizer, the rain?
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. It has to be. And it always is. Those memories of 2016, Max, remember everyone was going wild. He's gone around the outside of Rosberg, turn two. There's that scene where his dad's in the pits and he's like, I've seen this kid. And he's just amazed me. He's seen every race he's ever done. It was just incredible. And you don't appreciate when you're watching it, you appreciate it afterwards. The race is finished. And that was one of those scenarios. Yes, he got lucky with a red flag, but smart, like just dumb from McLaren again, just pitting when they didn't need to pit. There was going to be a red flag. Someone was going to crash. You stay out. It's the old buddy.
They're dropping like
flies.
They
followed.
Yeah, they always do. So, crazy weekend all up. Shout out to everyone. It was a long day yesterday. For everyone at the crowd. They had a 3-hour qualifying session. Shout out to Karun Chandon. He was on commentary. 3-hour qualifying session, a 2.5-hour break, and then a 4-hour race. It's 7 hours of coverage, non-stop coverage. It was incredible. The first race since 1984, Dallas Grand Prix, that a race has been brought forward in time. It was supposed to be at 2 p.m. I got my times mixed up. Apologies, post.
Yeah, copped it on the messages.
Yeah. I actually was right initially, and then they changed it after I posted. Yeah, credit where credit's due. So you're wrong. where do we start?
What I liked? Talk about a long day.
Yeah.
Crofty put up a thing. Did you see the queues getting into the circuit at 5:30 in the morning?
Amazing.
They must have been like a couple kilometres long.
Yeah.
It was nuts. At 5:30 in the morning, people were trying to get
in. And the other thing is,
they're massive fans.
They're massive fans, and they know they're going to be sitting in rain all day.
I know.
I don't think Aussies do that. I don't think we sit in the rain. We don't sit in the rain.
How quick did Philip Island clear out last year?
Yeah. I know.
At least it's hot over there.
But well done for F1. Well done for F1. They changed the times. They were criticised back a couple of years ago at Spa when we got two laps in. Well, they could have changed the time to fit qualifying and the race in that period was is incredible. So Let's start with qualifying. I mean, I think a 7:30 a.m. start is wild for a qualifying session.
Like, that is.
Could you guys imagine that? You got to be up at like the night before.
Yeah, 5:30.
The night before, you'd be told you're going to be up at 5:30, and then you're qualifying for the race in the wet. You know, is just
that's insane. Why they're professionals.
Well, that's true. I know, but like that is insane. And then having a 2.5 hour break into the race, there was just instant and galore. There was 5 cars in the wall.
How good was it?
How do they fix all those cars?
Yeah.
The only one car they didn't fix was Albon's. And then Colapinto Pinto went in the wall.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll, his team took. They couldn't have lunch. They had to fix his car, and then he smashes his the siding lap, gets bogged in the sand. I mean, seriously, can you believe it?
Taking back to F2.
Anyway, results. Sorry, Daniel, got a bit on there. You've been shaved.
Sprint race results for F1. Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, Charles Leclerc, top 3. Max Verstappen, Carlos Sainz, George Russell, Pierre Gasly, Sergio Perez, Liam Lawson, and Alex Albon.
How good's weather? Just like that plays such a great role in that Formula 1.
What do you think of Piastri pulling over for Norris in the sprint
race?
That
pissed me off, man.
And the radio messages and shit.
I can't stand Norris. I just think.
Tell us how you really feel, bro. Come on, don't
hold back. Don't just hold go, back. Go.
Sound like my therapist. I just
Curtis.
I just, anime, octopus,
Doc Ock,
POV, Ebony. Anyway, what were we saying?
Tell us how you really Norris. Feel.
Okay, so he's just whiny and. Yeah. Like pulling over, it's nowhere near winning this championship. And he wasn't on pole, and Piastri beat him to the front. Just take the second, man.
Yeah.
It's a bad look. Don't you think it's a bad look?
Definitely a bad look. And look, online today,
he copped it.
Copped it hard. And I think it's a real changing of the tide of the last couple of weeks. People have jumped on Max Verstappen. He's over aggressive. Yes, he has been. 100%. But the tide's turned back to Max now. Everyone's loving Max again, dominated. How good was that? And then Norris, you're crying, whinging, Pom. It's amazing how just from race to race, everything can change.
It's just a bad look for the sport. And look, I know there's been, you know, like the famous Barrichello let Michael pass for the championship.
Championship.
Not for a sprint race.
Yeah.
Like there's big differences there at the same time.
100%.
Yep. And okay, if it's the last, if it's, you know, if Piastri has to pull over in the last lap or last third of the race in the last rounds to win the championship. Obviously, going to do it. No one's going to complain about that. It's a fucking sprint race in Brazil, and he's complaining on the radio. I just don't think it's very like sportsman. You know what I mean? Like you've got to have a bit more CUNT and just either make the pass or I don't know. I just don't like it. I think it's a shit look. I think he just whines too much. And it's not a good look for the sport.
He didn't have the pace. Didn't have the pace to win. He didn't have the pace in the race either. I mean, he was dominated.
And then he dominated when, I guess you could say, it's an equaliser after rain. Then he was nowhere. Verstappen comes from 17th to win after he was gifted that
and then he
stupid
says,
sprint.
And
win.
Then he says in the press conference, Verstappen got lucky. You come from 17th in the third fastest car and you got lucky. Lando.
You are right, though. The tide is turning. I've noticed it probably in the past 3 months where since Hungary, maybe, where people have kind of gone off him a bit more. And
Hungary was a big thing for Lando. It was the whining and the carrying on the radio. And that's a reason why a lot of people were off Hamilton back in the day.
Yeah,
was his radio calls were just ridiculous. And on that point, I mean, he's out of form, isn't he, Hamilton? Out in Q1, both SQ1 and Q1, and two races in a row, Q1. Yeah. So, but back to Lando, it was really disappointing. I think the McLaren team aren't handling it well. They can't handle the heat.
I just don't think they can make the tough calls.
No.
Just let Piastri either win, just set a firm stance. Or
fight it out.
Yeah, let them fight it out because we're hearing both. It's like papaya rules.
Yeah.
And then there's... And then he's letting him pass for a fucking sprint.
But then they're calling it 2 laps in.
I know.
Like, you know, you got to give it up.
It is handled poorly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
Such a shit look. It's just such a shit look for the sport when you're always told as a kid, if you do your best or if you're the fastest person out there or the strongest person out there, you get the win. And for that instance, I just don't think that's right. Again, for the last, you know, race and the championship to do it, fine. But for that... Yeah.
And they almost bottled it, man.
Fuck, disentitled. Fuck.
Yeah.
They almost bottled it.
Yeah. McLaren just had ridiculously overcomplicated radio calls as well. Like, oh, you got class one rain coming in 15 minutes. You got class... Like, use your energy on winning the race, all right? Get the guy out in clean air, win the race. Like, track position was obviously so important. Even in the wet, it was super important. They pit behind Russell where they could have stayed out. Could have stayed out, then it would have been a red flag. He could have swapped the tyres. He would have been leading the race. Like, you could see the writing on the wall that was going to happen. And that was from my lounge chair at 5 o'clock this morning.
Imagine Kimi Raikkonen, and then they're telling him there's class one rain coming in. He goes, shut the fuck up.
I know. that overcomplicates your driving as well. Like, I just don't get it. I really think they need a whole overhaul of that team. I think they're finally up the front of the grid. They're probably arguably got the fastest car now, and they're just...
And look, two great drivers, but like Norris is just a bitch, man. It's annoying.
It's such a pussy. It's true, but I can't deal with it. I hated it.
Nah, I don't like it at all. It really annoyed me. And I never get annoyed watching motorsport at all.
Yeah.
And that just pissed me off. I don't know. And I guess if you're listening, you might think, oh, it's just because Piastri's Australian. Yeah, there's a bit of bias to it. But if it was, you know, a Brazilian and a Spanish, wouldn't matter either. You know,
whining.
Yeah,
exactly right. He's losing a lot of fans over this, and it's really put a sort of bit of a I don't know. It's just put a bit of hamper on the whole year as well. I think it's just really
You don't win a championship in that mentality anyway.
No, that's right.
Do you think Verstappen thinks like that, any of the greats?
Oh, not a chance in the world.
They just take it.
But yeah, back to you've been James Shaw to that right there. Back to Lance Stroll, like I touched on earlier, but I just want to, like, I can't emphasize how ridiculous that was. So this is the pinnacle of motorsport, okay? You've already crashed the car in qualifying.
You're already under their spotlight as well.
The team has worked their ass off. They had to fix Alonso's car as well. So they've worked their ass off to get this car on the grid. They've spent the whole time fixing the car. You fucking spin in the formation lap. You hit the wall. Okay. All right. Get it out of there. Drive straight through the gravel trap. Have you seen the footage?
Yeah, what a...
I've only seen the end of it.
The footage is ridiculous, okay? He spins on the tarmac. He turns left into the sand trap where he could have gone up and around where that was tarmac and then bogs himself.
Beached himself.
And then just gets out of the car and walks off and goes... Like, it was... It could have been the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen on the Formula One track.
That's a big call.
And it's not talked about enough. It was not talked about enough after that race. Like, that was just deplorable. Like... Yeah.
Like that's actually disrespectful to his team.
100%.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And like, you think he'd walk in and go, oh, guys, I'm so sorry. No, he would have walked straight to his, you know, motorhome or whatever it is there and just sitting. You know, it's not Formula One. He's not Formula One.
No.
I thought he had some talent there, but he has no talent at all. And he is shocking. What an idiot. Time to go. Time to go. Put a star in that car. I mean, seriously.
If anything, he is Formula One because there's always like a billionaire son in the Grand Prix. So he's actually filling that place nicely.
He is like, you look up Fraud Watch in a dictionary, fucking Lance Stroll's face is on there.
Nah, because you got to show potential. This is the beauty of Fraud Watch. You got to show potential. Vinales had all the potential in the world. Testing King.
Still does, but come on.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he hasn't showed any.
No, he hasn't.
That's true. He's a flat-out dud.
Yeah.
You know what's wild, I noticed, and I've probably forgotten about this rule, no tyre warmers for the wet tyres in Formula 1. Mm. No tyre warmers.
Yeah, right.
They're going to send them out there in the worst conditions possible, stone cold. Like, you think it'd be the other way around. You think it'd be the other way around. They'd put probably no, you know, tyre warmers on the slicks, so then you can probably warm the wets up.
That's Formula 1.
Couple of T-Shab facts. First time Verstappen and Hamilton racing together have both not got to Q3 in qualifying. That's an amazing stat.
That's wild.
Another couple of little stats. Max Verstappen's 62nd race win, which is actually pretty phenomenal when you think about it.
Wow, that many.
And he's 62 points ahead of Lando. A little common little thing there.
Well, Lando might as well be 162. It doesn't matter.
True. Max, 62 race wins from 206 Grand Prix. Lewis, 62 race wins from 205 Grand Prix. So he's on track.
Yeah.
Wow. Lewis is 100 wins. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I thought you'd boys appreciate that.
I like it.
Another one I think you appreciate, James, over the weekend was Liam Lawson getting his elbows out with Perez. So there's a bit of controversy last round where he sort of pushed Perez to the side. And
don't worry about Perez.
And then Horner had a discussion with him saying, mate, you can't do this. This is the premier team. And then Liam Lawson does the same thing. Doesn't let him pass. Love that. Well done, Liam. And you know what? He would have got flack from that for the team, but in their back of their minds going, nah, this kid.
Yeah, he's got it.
He's got the beast.
That's what they want to see.
Yeah. If you let him through, oh, yeah, well done, Liam. Good work. And then, oh, no, he's a bit of a puss.
Yeah.
Other way around. Like, there's a Max factor.
Reverse psychology.
Max was terrible when he first started, like, blocking people people off the road. And then everyone's like, oh, nah. But everyone in the back of your mind go, fuck, this guy is going to be world champion.
Exactly.
One day.
You can't be the nice guy.
No.
No way.
And we've talked about that. That's a Republica.
That's true. He's been listening to us. And, like, no offense to Perez, but he's been there, he's done that. Like,
he's
got to go. You know, if you're going to show no one respect, it's fucking the old Mexican.
Max Verstappen would have never let this world championship slide, I'm telling you. Doesn't matter if Lando won that race, he's not going to lose his championship.
It's still pretty far-fetched, it really is.
He will never let it happen. Red Bull will never let it happen. So
This race just showed how good he is.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. Yeah.
Well, we just spoke about it last week.
Yeah.
The rain's a great equalizer. See, Republic effect again.
Yeah. And look, he really needed to bounce back after last round in Mexico. And he did that in an amazing, amazing fashion.
Yeah, he did.
Kudos, Max Verstappen. You are the 87th performance of the week. And could have been one of the best performances I've seen on a Grand Prix weekend.
We need to think of our end of year show for our best performance of the week of the year.
Well, that's up there for me.
Yeah.
Aigura's up there as well in Japan. That was amazing. Yeah. Putting those slicks on.
God, you wouldn't have imagine thinking that 10 weeks ago.
Yeah, crazy. That's it for me, boys. Formula One, another ripping race. 3-week break now, which I'm happy about.
Alpine second, third.
Oh, yeah, shit. We haven't even spoke about that.
Viva la France.
I know.
Yeah, legit.
First time since like 30 years or two Frenchmen have been, 40 years since two Frenchmen have been on the podium. Olivier Panis and...
Olivier Jacques.
Oh, I
Jean-Michael
should know
Bale.
This. I don't know it. I'm sorry. They said it on the telepath. But anyway, yeah, and crazy. And like they've had a shocking year. Personnel disappeared. Everyone's leaving. They're losing their... like
standard
they're
not, French. They're retreating.
Alpine. Well, yeah, I mean, they're not supplying the engines for their cars from next year.
Going back
year.
Into the village.
And they get, actually, the Germans are coming on board. They're supplying the engines.
Oh, no way.
With a Mercedes engine. So, unbelievable, James. What a turn of events going back to history.
Why are they all wearing the same mustache?
Oh, God.
There's something
cancel us.
50 mil for finishing in sixth place. That's nuts,
I know.
That's what they were going.
It's a make or break. They might be able to afford their engines again now. Who knows?
That's a lot of cash, man.
Yeah, it's a huge deal for them and for the team because, $50 million it's put them two spots ahead in the championship. So
that's awesome. Pretty crazy. It's amazing how quickly you can all turn.
And that's a tight battle now too with Ferrari. And, I mean, Sainz not finishing doesn't help, but.
DNF superstar.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that one goes down the wire. How many more races for F1?
Three more races.
Oh, sweet.
Las Vegas.
Looking forward to that.
Qatar, Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, nice.
Shout out to Jared Mazden, one of our top fans as well. He's been messaging us through the whole weekend. Big fan, Formula One fan.
One of the OGs.
One of the OGs.
Yeah, absolutely. OG.
One of the OGs when we had 100 followers, I reckon.
And he made a before hot take, world famous hot takes come. James will present. I just want to say, Jared said, don't know about you guys, but I could never see Lando doing what Max did today. Too many mistakes from Lando and McLaren.
Agree.
And I totally agree. Yeah. Yep.
Not even a hot take. Straight fact.
Yep. 100%.
And tell me something. Lando predominantly not too good in the wet anyway?
Well, there's moments in time where he has been good. He had a massive shunt in Spa and qualifying the wet a few years ago. Massive shot.
That's when Vettel lost the plot.
Correct.
I told you this was going to happen.
Yeah, I think that he's there or thereabouts. He's not a star. Look, I had Hamilton up there.
He was losing it everywhere. We couldn't get heat to the tyres.
Russell's in the same car and puts it on.
But that's what I mean.
Second.
I was watching going, this is really odd, especially for Hamilton who thrives in these conditions.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I said, he will go to Ferrari and it will be a massive, massive fuck up.
It'll implode.
Yep.
Shout out to the Brazilian fans as well. I don't remember seeing a supporter base where, like, who's the last... Senna's obviously their biggest superstar driver of
Massa never
won a title. Barrichello never won a title. No. But they always turn out. And, like, all the homages to Senna is incredible, where I don't remember any other fan base, you know, when Stoner leaves, you know, 30,000 people don't rock up to Philippon. Rossi left. The Italians didn't come for a few years. But they always pack that joint out. It's amazing. I don't remember of another fan base.
Them, you know? I mean, you know what's crazy? You know, it's a crazy question. Who was bigger in their sports, Rossi or Senna? Like, who was bigger?
That's
a huge question, and we'll never be able to answer
it. I'll probably say Senna.
But Senna was a
Different times, too.
Senna was like a religion.
Well, you know? The thing that's as right. well, the mystique of Senna, unfortunately, is because he passed.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
what could have been?
What could have been, exactly. And that's what I was actually thinking about that during the weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He did a lot of work for charity and stuff like that as well. Massive. That was a big thing with him and what his legacy was. Like, he did a huge things with charity in organisations and a lot for the poor of Brazil as well. And I think that's why he's so big in that country as well.
Yeah, they love it. Like, you know, they love all the soccer players.
Their passion. Right. It's patriotism. It. Like, that's a big thing with those countries. So patriotic. Mm. They love their country. That's what we don't have here in Australia.
No, for sure.
It's going to change in America in 24 to 48 hours, but we'll see.
Oh, is that when it's on?
Well, yeah, election's on Wednesday, our time. Make America great again.
Yeah, right.
Hot takes, Jimmy boy. Get it going.
Hot takes, world famous.
World famous.
Everyone knows about it. Pecco Bagnaia knows about it.
He does.
Power rankings.
Yep, true story.
At the _learner_7. What is up with Brad this year? The rookie is showing him the way. Very disappointing form this year from Brad Binder.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, a bit of that.
Bit of that. I think... interesting, him and Miller have had shocking seasons, and obviously the bike is a lot different to what the bike was.
Yeah,
and I think Acosta coming through, obviously amazing talent, but my theory is that he has nothing to compare to in a MotoGP bike, and he's just adapted to it quicker.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Doesn't have to change anything.
No.
That's a good point. Great
work
point.
Around one bike.
at Chris_Seps, I thought it was very funny. I did see a message. Was that you?
I got him so good.
What did you say again?
He goes... said, "Oh, how good was Bagnaia?"
The qualifying.
Yeah, I said, "How good was Bagnaia?" Boring Bagnaia ? And then he crashed. I replied saying, "Yeah, a little bit." And then he went in like a flurry of messages. Fuck Martin, fucking fag, holding hands with his missus. I don't hold hands with her. Come on.
You do more than that.
Bagnaia's got his sister, but he putting his socks on. That's a bit gay as well. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry, I don't know if that's gay, it's ancestral, but is Iannone the MotoGP rider to have Botox? The only MotoGP rider to have Botox. Which is weird that he said that, because my missus were watching MotoGP on Saturday or Sunday and she's like, Marquez has had work done.
Okay.
The dude doesn't have a wrinkle.
I trust B on that. She's quite knowledgeable.
You should ask your sister.
I'll ask my sister. Shout out 99 Aesthetics if you need any work done.
Yeah.
Follow it on Instagram.
Lips, forehead, all that kind of stuff.
Yep. All cosmetic surgery.
Yep.
Do they do the underarms for the sweat? I need some of that.
Oh, I'm not sure. She's doing some.
She needs to get that going.
Like I said, doing a face mask works inside out or something.
Oh, wow.
Inside out?
Yeah. So you inject it and it works.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a new good. Trend.
All right.
I but like yeah, it. I'll...
No, not...
Yeah, I'll present some photos for you.
Yep.
At Willie_Nels.
OG as well.
Another OG.
Yeah.
I think him and his missus maybe listen to the pod. I think I saw a message. Royal Enfield to join Moto3 in the coming years to ensure India GP tap into massive market.
It's not a bad shout. They don't have to really do anything. They're just going to sponsor a team, and then it looks like it's their bikes. That's the unique thing about Moto3, Moto2.
Yeah. Won't go past 60 kilometers now, but that's all right.
Yeah, it won't turn. Good on the salt flats.
Don't make sports bikes, but yeah.
It's actually not a bad
that's
shout.
That's not a bad call.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Michael.Looney. Andrew Fox paid for Miller's ride next year.
Yeah, well, that's what I called that.
Yep.
Yeah. I called that, Jim.
I know. It was
the word on the street.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah,
it was.
Oh, maybe I read it somewhere.
No, you called it.
So Andrew Fox is Lindsay Fox's son, I'm assuming.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
All right, I like it. You're ahead of the curve.
Well, actually, you know what? My theory was OzGP with Campagnotti and Travis Auld being the friends.
Oh, he was sweating Paolo on the weekend.
There's Campagnotti, there's another big dog.
He always dresses
cash with the pink shirt.
Yeah, I don't know who. I think he's something to do with Dorna. Yeah, maybe, he's or FIM.
I like the Leopard Racing big dog.
Who's that? Is that the guy with the cigar?
Cigar. I see the g'day big dog. He goes, g'day. But he was a big dog, bro. The chain, the tan, the cigar.
You got to be big. You got to have the chain and you got to have the cigar.
Yeah.
I ain't no big dog.
No.
You two are big dogs. You just need the chain.
I just need the cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you got the tan already, you lucky ducky. Oh, nice.
See, you got the chain.
Got it ready to go.
Yeah, nice.
I just had to put this one in here at Valentino Marks 46.
What?
Maverick is the most overrated MotoGP rider since he's on Yamaha. He will never be champion.
Nah, no way.
Time's gone. Frauds.
See you later.
Yeah, he's gone. He's done.
We still love him, but
I love
him. Oh, yeah. We've got to have him in the grid just so we can talk about him.
Imagine doing a podcast with him if all the shit was spoken.
Big fans, baby.
Yeah. What's the worst thing than being talked about, not talked about? You know what I'm saying?
Dave Shaw. At Russell Rosario. Oscar will beat Lando next season.
Good shout.
Yeah, it's a very good shout.
Oh, he's so talented, Piastri. Like, he's, you know.
Unless Lando makes him move over every race because he can't handle the heat.
Mm. I reckon we're going to see one of those two in Red Bull next year. That's my theory. I know they're locked in the contracts, but.
If you're Oscar, I remember seeing something. I was going to ask you if you're Oscar and they offered him a mighty contract.
It'd have to be money.
Would you take it?
Well, I think that Mark Webber connection. Who knows?
True.
But you got to be Max's teammate. No one's ever succeeded being Max's teammate. That's the big thing.
Yeah, and he's in arguably the best car at the moment.
But apparently Colapinto's been offered $20 million to race for Red Bull. The guy's raced five races and was nobody like 2 months ago.
He's done pretty good though.
He's done amazing. Yeah. But to go to a factory Red Bull team.
Better than fucking Perez.
I know, better than Perez. But like, bro, how do they not? If Tsunoda doesn't get that drive, why bother having him?
He did nothing as well.
He had an all right.
He got points because a lot of people crashed in front of him.
Yeah, he probably had the best weekend he's had all year. But anyway, still fraud.
Oh, major.
But has shown potential, Jim, or not?
Who?
From Sonoda. So he can't be fraud then.
Oh, is that what you mean? I thought you meant for the race.
good twist, that one.
You like that? Yes, because he was built to be the next Red Bull driver.
Correct. I will give you a fact. This is that not a lot of people know.
He's got a thick neck.
He was third. He was third fastest in testing when he's on his debut year.
Yeah.
But no one realized
that's fraud. That's very fraud.
Nobody realized that he used the DRS around the whole track, not just the front straight. Nobody realized.
See, they cheat.
Kamikaze style. Yeah.
Oh goodness.
Always goes back to World War II with us. If you listen to our Patreons, it's basically just a history lesson and and Tom
and
saying
geography.
And Tom saying words. Very bad words. At the _289, the number one plate going to Aprilia in 2025 is better for the sport than Pecco winning again.
I think we all agree on that to a certain extent. Yeah. Daniel maybe not, but I'm not speaking for you.
I think so. I think
it mixes things up really
absolutely
well.
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah.
I think either way, the sport doesn't lose.
No. You're right. Because if Pecco comes back and, you know, somehow miraculously wins the title, how amazing is
that? Yeah. That's crazy as well.
You know, you. I never know how to pronounce this guy's name.
Melbourne?
At Artisanal Bogan. Moto 2 has been the hottest championship in 24. Every weekend has felt like it's a toss up, which I agree.
Yeah, I think it's a good shout.
How many different winners do they have? It's crazy.
You don't know who's going to win. And Jake Dixon fluffing it, you know, buddy.
Kennett finishing second.
Aigura up and down.
Yeah.
I think they've had 16 different podium finishes this year.
That's crazy. Navarro, like.
Half the fields finished on the podium. That's unheard of.
Furman's up and down. Senna podiums.
Yeah.
Sergio Garcia for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been... And who would have thought that a couple of years ago? Mm. Seriously. Rick.far. If Aprilia and KTM get it together, Acosta or Martin can take the reins of the MotoGP Championship next year. Thoughts? It's a hard one because you've got Bagnaia and Marquez on a factory Ducati.
Yeah, I think... guys, I think we all agree Marquez is going to be hard to beat next year.
I don't know,
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I'm still not convinced.
How well he's going in the last few rounds with that bike. I mean,
yeah, but what's he done in the main race, Tom?
Cheers.
He's dumped a boat.
I know, but he's just hanging on by. He's hanging on every lap.
One thing, I guess,
over the limit.
He is beating Bastianini on a GP24, who's no slouch. But I just can't predict what he's going to do next year. No. He could either win it, and we're not going to be surprised, or he could either not win it, and we won't be surprised.
Right.
You know, who knows? It's such a question mark.
It is. It's such a question mark.
But I don't know. I think they won't take the reins. They just probably will share the love and podiums, Aprilia and KTM, if they get it together. If Aprilia do well next year, I don't think Bezzecchi's going to do anything. But if Martin does amazing, then it just really solidifies what Fraud Watch means to this motorsport world.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's very important. It is very important.
Does Martin stay on Fraud Watch next year? Because I don't think I want to open him up with Fraud Watch, because at the moment, there's no potential. I don't see him doing anything, so he can't be a fraud.
If he wins the championship, but he's got to start.
Like, no, sorry, not Martin. Maverick Vinales.
Fucking hell. Martin and Fraud shouldn't be said in the same sentence.
Yeah, Maverick Vinales.
Does he stay on Fraud Watch?
Yeah, next year on the KTM.
Yeah, of course he starts on Fraud Watch. Oh, not testing.
He resets Fraud Watch, but
testing king.
Yeah, it resets. If he's fast and testing, then he's straight on.
We need like a fraud behind us.
He's over there. Go get him.
Yeah, no, we need like a list here. Like, I remember Top Gear when they had
the
keep a tally of who goes into Fraud Watch.
We need it up there. And then
Costa's been close a couple of times.
Oh, it's harsh.
It's harsh, but this is the thing.
It's a cutthroat podcast. Yeah. Right?
It's his first year.
That's the thing, you know.
Is he in the non-Ducati championship as well?
Because of the DNFs from
BBS. Yeah. Unreal.
It is unreal. But he was close, and it's up to them, you know? It's up to them, not up to me. I don't make the rules, even though I do. But Maverick Vinales, I don't think will start, unless he's fast on testing, I don't think he's going to start on Fraud Watch.
Okay. Barcelona as well.
But if he wins a race, then that's it.
That's a different dynamic, Barcelona testing as well.
Yeah, true. Bezzecchi definitely starts on Fraud Watch, and Morbidelli starts on Fraud Watch. That's two shoo-ins.
Yep.
Heard it here first. At Luke Miller, who is your favourite MotoGP team manager?
Oh, I like the little Boisor.
Gino Boisor.
Gino Boisor.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I like him as well.
I still like Tardozzi.
I like Brivio just for what he's done.
Yep. Yeah. They're all good. They're all good.
Akiyo.
But you know what's crazy? They're all good. They've become so much more famous in the last few years, I reckon.
Yeah, it's because of Tardozzi and the Italians, but
Yeah, definitely. And they like
Chibata.
That's the best thing when they've got the camera on. Chibata.
Paolo Chibata with the
with his mail order.
With the mail order. Yeah. I think he's got one every country.
God. Yeah, wouldn't you, Bart? Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Not me, man. It's disgusting.
Nah, talk to me off camera. In the doghouse.
<Stand. laughs>
Yeah, tell me about it.
When are you not?
Yeah, no, it's hard. Gotta burn it.
Quickly, next before he says this, I think he's gonna regret.
I'm not cutting it.
No. Send it out.
Send it out into the ether. This is a good one. Heart Melbourne always does a few good ones. David Alonso has more potential than Acosta did. Their rivalry could be legendary.
The rivalry will be legendary.
The potential is an interesting one. David's done more, but the potential for both, I think, still there.
Yeah.
It'll be a great rivalry. Yeah. I still think Acosta's got more potential.
Wow.
I think.
Next year is going to be incredible. Doesn't matter what happens, it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
True. What do we got? B_Rothberg, you're starting a team from scratch. Name team principal, sponsor, and pilots for either F1 or MotoGP. Daniela.
Team principal, Brivio.
Yep.
He's the man. Been there, done that.
Sponsor and riders.
As in, when they say sponsor, as in, like, what bike do I want them on? Or
nah, let's just say sponsor.
Gee, that's hard. That's actually really a tough one. PlayStation.
Oh, that's cool.
So Sony.
I like that.
Cool. PlayStation would be cool to see back. Riders. Tony Arbolino and...
Best mates.
Yeah, we're best buds. No. Take out Tony. Toprak.
Yep.
And Martin.
Nice. That's a good team.
Yeah, Toprak and Martin.
Martin Marquez for me. Red Bull sponsored. What's the third?
Team manager.
Oh, team manager.
Massimo Ravioli.
I don't know. He's not very good though. Put that team into the ground. Got Martin, but that's pretty impressive. Nah, Tardozzi in there. I like the passion.
Yeah.
Got to have the passion.
You?
I'll go Tardozzi. You took it out of my mouth.
You love
pilots,
that,
yeah. I'll go Acosta Marquez, Spanish Mafia, and I'll finish it off because I'm repping them Repsol.
Mm.
Someone had to say it. I like that one, but.
Mm.
At @Jack_Harney, if it rained every single Sunday race, Jack Miller would be top three in a championship.
He'd just about win it, I think.
Yeah, he wouldn't be far off, would he?
Yeah, or Binder's very good in the wet as well.
Him and Miguel.
Miguel, he's not even right.
Where's Miguel? Is he gone for the year?
Miguel.
Yeah, injured.
Oh, yeah, we know that because we had the podcast with Savatori. So.
He's fraud watch as well, Miguel.
Savatori, nah, come on, bro.
No, Miguel's fraud watch.
Nah, not Sav, I'd be rude as.
As rude as my Kelso comment?
last one. @MattStevens_, should Fabio have gone to Aprilia or will his brand loyalty pay off?
I think his bank account's going to be paid off. That's the thing.
That's right.
Definitely. But I think his brand loyalty is going to pay off as well.
I think so as well.
He's making inroads on the Yamaha.
But he's doing an amazing job. We know that. And they've got good things coming. When's the last time they had a satellite team? Has it been 4 years?
A couple of years.
The VR46.
Nah, Petronas.
Patronus. Yeah.
Rossi and Dovi.
So good things come. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Don't we have one more on our messages that we missed a couple of weeks ago and we got re-messaged?
Oh, fuck. Who was it from? Do you remember?
No. Something about Rossi and Stoner or...
Oh, who was that? I did see it, but...
Just get the... if we can, just get the hot takes in on time and then we won't have this problem.
No, it was too big to write in the...
Oh, okay. Credit where credit's due. Sorry.
Nah, I don't know. You're going to have to re-put it through. We got too many messages. That's the problem.
We'll re-put it through for next week. We'll do some research.
Yeah, I'll make sure I screenshot it. I'll make sure I screenshot it next time because just fucking...
It's too much going on.
There's biddies messaging us and we're poking them away.
We're big deals now, so it's hard to keep track.
Big in the northern suburbs.
Shout out to Ashton as well. Ran into him at Coles in Eltham. Great ripper bloke. Listen to the podcast from the start.
What are you doing in Coles in Eltham?
I don't know. I felt like a bit of punce going in there, but I don't know. Mel wanted something from Eltham, so
fair enough.
Obliged.
No racing, no type of motorsport at all this week?
Nothing?
Oh, no. What about your superbikes?
No, that's done.
Oh, okay.
It's done and dusted.
We got a very special podcast guest getting released on Monday next week, guys. So don't stress. We've got a great pod coming and it's probably one of the best ones we've ever had.
Easily one of the best ones I've ever had. Every weekend's the best one I've ever had, but this one's very, 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 very good.
Beautiful. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, boys.
All right, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
For the season finale.
Jesus.
Yeah. For MotoGP.
Huge.
Oh, La Familia.
Huge.
Oh, it's ASPK season finale this week.
I was talking to someone about you today.
Yeah, I'm going to try and go.
You're going to go off Ibby?
Yeah, he's already got his passes.
At the Bend.
At the Bend.
If anyone's
550 a night, but to stay at the track.
What a roar. Fucking get stuffed.
That's sport. That organization.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it's not their fault, I suppose.
No, it's what the Bend charges.
Is that where you're staying, bud?
No way. I've got to try and find an Airbnb.
Yeah, bloody oath.
Or just sleep in the back of the car. I don't care.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It'll be interesting. Josh Waters, Mike Jones, down to the wire. So.
Yeah, I'm spewing, but I'm in Airy Beach.
Yeah, enjoy, Jim. And James Shaw, happy 30th birthday.
Thanks, boys.
30.
I'm old.
All right.
I'm old.
All right, see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.